Welcome to the Hawkeye Sidekick Podcast. And you're very welcome back to the Hawkeye Sidekick Hurling Podcast with your host Mark Kennedy, joined again this week by Rory Walsh and Kieran Collins. Lads, how are things?
Good, you go, Mark.
Ethan.
Great, great. Hope you all had a good St. Patrick's long weekend. I suppose we'll focus primarily on the Allianz Hurling League 1A, 1B and 2A. Regular season's in the books, get the lads' reaction. I suppose first off, we need to congratulate St. Kieran's, St. Killian's, Garran Tower of Antrim, Kilfinnan and also St. Mary's Newport for winning their respective All-Ireland Colleges finals. Congratulations to everyone, and particularly St. Kieran's College, securing their 25th Croke Cup final win. Good performance against a very gallant St. Raphael's Loughrea team. I suppose, guys, we'll kind of get straight in there in terms of the Allianz Hurling League. A few storylines from 1A and 1B. I suppose maybe, Rory, we can get your thoughts in terms of Tullamore, Offaly versus Clare. I suppose the two managers here, Johnny Kelly and Brian Lowe, are probably relatively pleased with the outing for both sides.
Yeah, I'd say Johnny Kelly is probably a bit disappointed Offaly didn't hold on, because the only time Clare led was at the very end of the game, as in at the last puck of the game, more or less. So he would have been, you know, anxious that Offaly got a win. We were just speaking last week about how it would be a big one for Offaly, you know, rounding up the league to finish with a win going into Joe McDonagh. And they had every chance. And, we also spoke about with Clare that it was going to be a much changed Clare team, which it was. And sometimes it can be just hard, like lads haven't played with each other. They've trained with each other, but going out playing this level, even like with lads you might never have heard beside in a game before, it can be tough enough. But look, they, as the game went on, Clare came more and more into it second half, and eventually a couple of late David Reedy frees won it from the end. But notably Patrick Crotty scored quite heavily for Clare, good to see. He's been kind of around the panel now for a couple of years, and we'd know him from the UL inside as well. He was on the Fitzgibbon team last year and on the Freshie, won the All-Ireland the year before. So also Ian Galvin got 4 points from playing that second half as well. So, good to see Ian Galvin finding a bit of form from a Clare point of view. And then Offaly as well, Owen Cahill, scoring 10 points. I know a lot of it was freeze, but this time of year in difficult conditions as it was last weekend, each freeze is important. But they had a spread of scorers as well. I think Offaly had maybe 10 different scorers over the course of the game, which, shows maybe we were questioning Offaly's depth, but it shows that, there is a panel of players there to work with, because Screeny didn't feature. Raven had only come on as a sub. So, one or two of these guys, that had put their hands up previously, it was a chance for Johnny Kelly to, check out a couple more players. And I'm sure he'd be happy that, he got big performances from, a couple of boys that hadn't had much league time so far. So we'll give him plenty of talking into Joe McDonagh, and it'll show him that maybe he can rotate a small bit, because it is an arduous campaign, and he'll have found out a little bit about some of the lads that he'll be able to, over different weeks, not put out the same team in every single game.
Yeah, absolutely. Kieran, get you in there. And I suppose from an Offaly perspective, I probably asked for a response last week after the Cork round four fixture. And I suppose Johnny Kelly management has said at the top of the show here, would have been pleased with the efforts, maybe disappointed with late chances being squandered. But I mean, overall, very positive performance of the faithful county.
Yeah, I suppose looking back to the league overall, it hasn't been a bad league campaign either for them. They came to Wexford Park and pushed them all away to get their draw. And the other day, it could have been a win. And the same when they went to Kilkenny, there isn't many teams go to Kilkenny and get a result, but to be 6 points up at half time, albeit they had a strong win with them. But, I suppose it's more so the good performances they've had, in the league. And I'm sure there'll be a certain level of disappointment over the weekend not to get the win against Clare. They were 6 points up at half time as well. Okay, they had the win in the first half, but just that, I think that probably the changing of the game was when David Reedy came on. They seemed to have settled Clare's forward unit. They'll be disappointed, but look, I'm sure they'll be still fairly confident going into the Joe McDonagh. The games they've played over the last couple of weeks will stand to them. Just the experience some of the younger guys would have gained, and if they can keep everybody fit, and you'd imagine they have to be hot favourites for the Joe McDonagh. And I suppose, look, they will be disappointed, but I'm sure, the league won't be remembered by the end of the year. I'm sure if they win the Joe McDonagh, it'll be just a stepping stone along the way to it. So, look, they're not far off. We mentioned that in weeks gone by. Bar that Cork result last week, they just looked like they were completely off it. They're not too far from the top table. A little bit more to go, but they've took huge strides the last year or two.
look, we're looking at the end of the regular league season here, pros and cons. And I mean, for Clare, really, an awful lot of positives coming out of this league campaign, Rory. I mean, Brian Lowe and the management have a nice little problem on their hands in terms of maybe starting lineup, particularly against Limerick in Cusick Park, because an awful lot of these squad players have really impressed in these first five fixtures of the league.
Yeah, and I suppose there's a lot of household names to come back in terms of O'Donnell and Tony Kelly in particular in the forward line. You're talking mentioned as well, you know, David McInerney and Ryan Taylor and a few other boys as well. What I'd say, maybe apart from one or two, maybe pushing into the starting lineup, like we've mentioned, Sean Rain of Aina Kilimona there a couple of times, who's played really well. John Keneally as well of Clooney Quinn was very impressive for the Clare under-20s last year. They got to the Munster final. He started full back the last day as well and got a full 70 minutes in. So you're kind of looking there, like there's definitely more depth. And I think Clare needed to get a bit more depth in the back line. I think we saw last year with the Munster final with one big injury in the full back line with Conor Cleary and, you know, things didn't go very well. But at least now there seems to be that bit more depth in the back line because forwards, every player that seems to be breaking through for the last two or three years was a forward. So it was getting a bit lopsided, but there seems to be a talent coming through in the backs. And even looking down at the younger brigade, again, you have Roland Keane, who was excellent for the Clare Minors last year, fullback, and Gunning. Now, I know they're a few years off, but there is a sign. Gunning was the captain from Broadford cornerback, who was excellent throughout the minor campaign as well. There is a sign that there is, you know, especially a good few backs coming through if they can keep them progressing. But from athlete point of view, maybe there as well next year to be in 1B because there are still going to be a couple of good teams in there. Like you'll have Waterford, you know, Dublin, they are going to get good competitive matches and there won't be the pressure of maybe having an off day as we saw against Cork last week and shipping a big beating either, you know. They will get games in there that they'll target that they can win and also like they'll be playing against, you know, some top players as well where Johnny Kelly or whoever is managing next year will be able to try out and see exactly how, you know, good certain players are to maybe get proper matchup. So I don't think Offaly will be too concerned that they're going on to 1B and the fact they've had a couple of good performances as well will kind of buy them up for the Joe McDonagh Cup where themselves and Westmead probably have had similar campaigns up and down, but both teams will be really fancy for chances in the Joe McDonagh Cup now as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely, Rory. Suppose, Kieran, we could probably focus on Chadwicks Park, Wexford. Wexford entertaining Cork, and Cork came out 321 to 115 winners. Another impressive outing for Cork again. I suppose Cork have used 32 players so far in the league. I suppose the big question here, Kieran, is does Pat Ryan know he's first 15 to come out against Waterford first day out in the Munster Championship?
Well, it's hard to know. I think there's definitely one name secure on the team sheet, and it's Alan Connolly after his last two games. You know, he had 3 goals, 3-2 on the day. He could have had another 3 goals. Like there was 3 more clear-cut goal chances, you know what I mean? Another day he would have scored. So, you know, he's just electric in front of goal. And he's just a different type of forward compared to the rest of the Cork forwards. Like, he's just the type where you can just leave him on the square. And, you know, let's say if the Cork are behind with 5 minutes to go, you could put long ball in on him. And you know, he was the type of player who would win it. And, you know, he's such a goal threat. And we will talk about him the year before last. You know, he really showed a lot of promise. And just the injury the last while, he's been hampered. But, you know, I hope for Cork, I suppose they'll be hoping he can stay fit this year because, you know, the last few games he's been electric. Okay, he's probably going to meet stiffer competition in defences in games to come, especially Munster, but you can only play what's in front of you. And, you know, for the last 2 days, it's been immense. But I suppose the Cork got a great start. You know, they got 1-3 without reply in the first 5 minutes, you know, just completely storm Wexford. I think Wexford probably settled into a little bit after that, but I think Cork did the most damage in the first half. I suppose that Wexford couldn't cope with them all over the field. I think they were stood off them. I think just the start they got, they never kind of got back into it and turned it around. Second half, Wexford won the second half by 2 points, which are going to take some positive from it. But you know, Cork obviously had the work done. 12 different scores. I mean, it's all positive. They've probably been a little stop starts in the league, you know, early games, but the last two games have been, you know, really impressive and putting up huge scores. I suppose when it comes to the first round against Waterford, the championship, you know, who starts? And I suppose they don't even know themselves, is what I imagine. But I'd still think it won't be a team that'll be too different than last year to finish off the championship with. I think they heavily rely on, you know, look at and like the likes of Lehan and Luke Mead Kingston, you know, I think they would be there thereabouts still. I think Brian Hayes probably wasn't as influential in the half hour, and I think he's probably a better inside and corner forward. You know, again, Pat Horgan, just, you know, he's doing what he does every day, scoring 7 or 8 points, and not a lot of them are from frees, but, you know, he still is a target man inside, and you still have to mind him, and he creates huge headaches for our defences. But to me, the biggest player in that Cork back unit is Kieran Joyce. I think he's just immense. Just his skill level, just his vision, like, you know, especially in winning puckles and breaks, he sits back, he doesn't get involved, you know, he runs on to break and ball. Just really good player, likes to get forward, and he's darting runs up the middle, and, you know, he's really developed into a top class hurler in the last year or two. I still think they have a question mark of a fullback. I think Cahalan, he's the least comfortable on the ball of the back six, any of the back six we've seen. And I think that's probably one area that they haven't solved this league campaign, is that fullback position. But look, they've a stupid amount of riches in the forward line. Like, they have probably, you know, we're not even mentioning Robbie O'Flynn, who's been injured. You know, Decky Dawson, that's coming back in there. They have an array of talent in the forward line. And I suppose the big question is, who starts? You know, I suppose maybe Pat Ryan is looking at it. It's a 23-man team now, and, you know, maybe the guys who are coming on will be just as important as the lads who start.
Yeah, Rory, get you in there. I know Cork's regular season and league campaign has concluded. Where do you assess where Cork are at here, heading down the stretch 5 weeks out from a fixture against Waterford?
Yeah, I think we'll learn a lot about both counties in that day and where they're going to fit in the Munster Championship, because both counties are kind of hard to pin down at the minute. Cork definitely look that bit more settled than Waterford. Alan Connolly is in this form is a big plus for them, because last year he didn't really, you know, I know he suffered injuries over the last couple of years, but couldn't really nail down a place in the team. But going into the championship, which after scoring 6 goals in 2 games is going to be a huge confidence for any player, will be a threat at the edge of the square, as Kieran pointed out. And in fact, Fanning made one unbelievable save as well. Like, I know you could say he could have got another 2 or 3, but in fairness, Mark Fanning, I think it was the ball that Shane Barry played through to him. He made an unbelievable save, and you know, it kept Alan Connolly from getting 4 goals, like, which would have been incredible in a league match.
He had another one cleared off the line. He batted it backwards, and Damien Rickett cleared off the line. So, you know, it was a really impressive display.
Yeah, like, Wexford definitely didn't seem to have the same energy as the week before. We spoke about how their forwards were, you know, real pep under step against Waterford, and they were, you know, a yard or two ahead of all the Waterford backs. Like, it can happen as well with training this time of year and stuff. Just games do pile up, and a lot of these boys don't have the experience of playing, like, inter-county games week and week, and that'll only come. Because Seamus Casey, if I'm right, is the only starting forward that scored from play. For lads like Keane Byrne, who were really impressive the week before, it just, you know, it can be tough. It's just it's experience still at this stage for a lot of the new lads coming in. But overall, I'd say Rosser has to be happy with how Wexford have put fronted up in the league. Like, this was their only defeat, remember, coming after a long series of games as well against the Cork team, really, who probably fancied a chance of making the league semi-final. And Pat Ryan said afterwards they were disappointed. They felt that they needed another game with players coming back. So that would tell you maybe that Pat Ryan isn't 100%, as Kieran was saying. He isn't 100% on his team yet. Would have liked another game, league semi-final game. Yeah, they are a bit top-heavy as well, though, in terms of forwards. Like, they have, a bit like we were saying about Clare a couple of years ago, where there's forwards and forwards coming through. But it's still, apart from Kieran Joyce, who's come in at centre-back, a lot of still the same names in the back line. And I'm sure Pat Ryan would have loved for, you know, a fullback to come along, or even another top quality cornerback, just to strengthen that fullback line. Tim O'Mahony, I wonder, will Tim O'Mahony, Jared Mellorick are probably fighting for the same place in the half back line come championship, because I think Tommy O'Connell is now, like, he played wing back last year against Clare up in Ennis, but he's going to be a nail down, I think, midfielder with also Mark Coleman coming back too. So that will be a good fight for the half back line places. Because of fit Mark Coleman, and he's definitely going to have to be in the reckoning there as well. So it's full back line is still the worry, but overall, yeah, we didn't know where Cork were at the start of the league. They were really poor against Kilkenny, but they have definitely gotten stronger as the league has come on, and just missed out in the league semi-final place at the very end.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Kieran, get you back in there in terms of Wexford. I know Key Roster probably at pains to acknowledge look, the unbeaten run was ended, probably a relief in some quarters. But, I mean, not a lot of positives for Wexford to get out of this league. World Cup win, obviously, for pre-season. I suppose, what have been your positives for Wolf or Wexford this year?
Look, I suppose it's a couple of young players that have come in and have impressed week on week. You know, like, I think Conor Foley has been a real fine full-back. Cian Byrne, obviously, had it a bit tougher this week. You know, being marked by Sean O'Donoghue, who didn't get inch off him. And, you know, he's going to get that. But, you know, he has the skills to make it as a good forward. I think he showed that last week with 5 points for play. You know, Seamus Casey, obviously, he's been in or around Wexford panel for a couple of years, but he wouldn't be a name most people would have known before this year. And, you know, to score 1-9 again this week and 1-2 from play, you know, I suppose it's a testament to how good a forward he is. Derek Harley got in for his debut the weekend, scoring 2 points. You know, a young guy again, and I think he's got a big future ahead of him. And, you know, starting to get a few of the older guys back in the field. Limo McGovern came on second half. Mikey Dwyer came on second half, getting game time. Conor McDonald came on. You know, all these guys coming back first game this year. You know, they're going to be rusty. They're going to be green. They're going to, you know, need game time to get back up to the speed of it. I imagine Liam Ryan isn't too far away. You know, Rory O'Connor, get Lee Chin back in. You know, so a lot of these names that will make a huge difference to, you know, extra team of the day. And come championship, I suppose they'll hope to have them all, you know, raring and fit to go. You know, it's just, I suppose, there's a little bit more depth there than I think most people would have foreseen in the Wexford squad. You know, even with the younger guys, a few of them might lose out to the experienced hurlers over the last couple of years, but just to know that they're there to come on, you know, because I think last year they were a little bit reliant on their, you know, maybe the 15 that started. There was no real impact off the bench. I mean, it's a 23-man game now. Like, you expect the guys you finish, you want them coming on scoring, you know, 2 or 3 points each man if they can. And it's part of the game. And, you know, I think that would be the positive for me, is that there is a few young players there who were given their chance and, I suppose, didn't disappoint. Now, there's going to be a huge step up from what the league intensity is to the championship. So, I suppose it remains to be seen, kind of mixed at that level. But I suppose all signs at the minute are good.
Yeah, Rory, get you in there in terms of Wexford. What's been your assessment of Wexford this league campaign? What you're looking forward to seeing in the championship?
Yeah, just for me, the most impressive performance was the Waterford game. They hung in there when they had to, you know, got some serious scores in the second half. Their movement looked very good up front. So I'm sure that's the game really that Keith Rosser might be going back to, in terms of that's the performance they want to deliver again and again. Because as we pointed out last week, that was a Waterford team that really were targeting that game. Going into the Leinster Championship, like Wexford now really need to make sure they're top three here. You know, it's easier said than done. Like, Dublin are beginning to show signs of a bit of promise there as well. But so far, like, Wexford, based on league form, Wexford look like they should be right in there. And they just need to keep that consistency going through now into the Leinster Championship.
Guys, we might go to 1B. I thought the Allianz Hurling League organisers and GAA missed a trick, maybe. Not scheduling the Antrim tip game and Galway Limerick game at the same time. There was precious little excitement, really, in that Antrim Tipperary game, knowing what the result was in Salt Hill. I suppose, Kieran, can I come to you first in terms of this Galway Limerick fixture? Plenty of physicality on show. Second week in a row, and the referee in Salt Hill under maybe a little bit of a spotlight. 17 points apiece. Limerick down to 14 players for 55 minutes. An interesting tussle.
Yeah, I suppose from a Limerick point of view, I think John Kiley would be happy with a draw, you know, considering they played all the second half and probably, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of the first half with 14 men. Like when Shane O'Brien was sent off, you're thinking, you know, this is advantage Galway straight away. You know, real tough conditions, you know, it was a tough weekend for hurling everywhere because the weather has been so bad, pitches are so heavy and, you know, wind, and it's one of the lowest scoring game. Not what you'd associate with, you know, Limerick and Galway, but I think Kiley would be happy to get the win. I suppose, you know, they were 2 points up going down the home straight until, you know, two late night and freeze were to draw it for Galway. I do think Galway should have seen red, and maybe one occasion, if not two. I think Adrian too, he was, I think Fergal O'Connor was maybe, he adjusted his height going into it, but, you know, the elbow does come out and, you know, it seems to be now any strike to the head is a red. You know, I think they are trying to kind of stamp it out, and any, you know, helmet interference or, you know, any strike to it, any and towards the head at all is red card. you know, you look at the rugby and what their stance is on, you know, on contact with heads, hair areas, and, you know, obviously there's a big enforcement in rugby because of, you know, certain lawsuits and everything, but it's now a factor down to underage rugby where young rugby players are being taught to tackle from the waist down. This is all to alleviate head contact. So I think the GAA probably need to do more on, I suppose, maybe for coaching the players at the underage level to get them up to speed on, you know, I suppose the importance of, you know, protecting players and the player welfare. But I think definitely Adrian Toohey, you know, or David Work, I think one of them should have been read. I suppose it crops up a question then, is there a little bit of a discipline issue developing in Galway? You know, we looked at the last two games where Conor Whelan received a red card, Dwight Burke received a red card, and then there's two instances in this game where there could have been two reds for Anders too. So that's four red cards in two games, you know. Jeez, if that was Limerick, like, to be front page of the Irish Sun and the Times and the whole lot, because, you know, that's, I suppose Limerick had a, you know, had been brandished as that kind of a team, a dirty team, and, you know, if there was a red card in any game, it's, you know, grew legs and, you know, it became a bigger thing than it was. But just for Shefflin, like, you know, you do need to be physical, but there has to be a lid on it. You know, you have to have control over this aggression, and just, it will be a worrying trend if it was to continue for Galway going into Championship, like, because, you know, you lose a man in Championship, you know, for any period of a game, it's a huge disadvantage to your team. And look, on the day they got the draw, and held on to get the draw well, but I just think, like, you know, the signs will be worrying about that for me with potential four red cards in two games.
Yeah, Rory, got you in there. Galway's league campaign's obviously over now, given the straw against Limerick. I suppose impressions of the Galway league campaign at the moment.
Yeah, like, Henry Shefflin has to be very disappointed with how it finished, because, as Kieran said, Galway were up 2 or 3 points when the Limerick did get the red card, when Shane O'Brien got red carded, and they're playing the whole second half. You know, the breeze was cross pitch, if anything, in Salt Hill. So, like, you couldn't say they were against breeze in the second half. And just the fact that they'd really have wanted to get over the line and get the win, just to the boost of beating the All-Ireland champions, finishing off, you know, your league. And it would have given Galway, they would have been in the semi-final and score difference as well. It would have given them another game and a chance for Conor Whelan maybe and Dahi Burke get back in. But yeah, just second half, they didn't do enough. And in the end, I thought it was Galway who were lucky to snatch the draw. Kyle Mannion, 4 points to play in the first half. But when Galway had the extra man in the second half, you know, seemed to go out of the game a bit, you know. Definitely didn't have as many possessions as he did in the first half. And maybe that's from a Galway point of view, team-wise, like, Mannion is the guy they should be looking for with the extra man. You know, get him on the ball out around midfield because he can score from distance, as we know. And yeah, just like Conor Cooney, who was brilliant the week before, didn't get on the score sheet from play. Joseph Cooney, Tom Monaghan, who often has done well against Limerick in the past, no scores there. You know, so they were kind of very reliant on Mannion in the first half. And when he's scoring kind of dried up a bit, they're in a small bit of trouble, you know. But yeah, even Brian Concannon coming in didn't really, like, he was on for 20 minutes, didn't get in the score sheet either. I'm sure, like, that Henry Shefflin would have been hoping that this was a chance for them, you know, to finish the league with a win. And it just, you know, I thought Galway were a bit disappointed in the second half. Now, Limerick fought, and we know, like, that Limerick, from a John Kiley point of view, he'd have loved the fact that they had to, you know, a bit of adversity to play against 15, because it can happen in Championship easily, you know. And one mistimed tackle as well, where a player does turn. I'm not saying this is what happened in the Fergal O'Connor incident, because, you know, he seemed to be lined up, but where a player turns, you could easily end up down to 14. And just the fact that you've played with 14 and against a team like Galway away and come out of there without being beaten and actually leading the game for a good chunk of the second half as well is a good sign for Limerick, I think. So I think Limerick will get more out of the game overall than I think Galway did.
Kieran, get you back in there in terms of Limerick. I mean, Adam English really started the show with 5 points from play. Middle third, very impressive. Likes of Dermot Burns, Will O'Donoghue, Peter Casey, Gerard Hegarty came on. Thought third quarter wise, Galway really struggled all ends up middle third. I mean, an awful lot of positives here for Limerick. I mean, the Shane O'Brien red card, I don't think there's any complaint there in terms of implementation of the rules there. Helmet went flying, so obviously red card. But I suppose all in all, from Limerick, 55 minutes playing with 14 players, showed the tenacity, showed the work rate and determination to be in a position to win this game. So, I mean, John Kiley management should be well pretty pleased here.
Yeah, I think it's just the way to grind out any results, being down to 14 men for that period of time, you know, it takes a it takes an extra effort, especially on the heavy ground it is at the minute. You know, I think, you know, Adam English, 5 points from play, you know, really good performance, especially in the first half there. I think he was probably the leading light in Limerick scoring front. You know, Dimmitt Burns, 5 second-half points, you know, off for frees, but Tom Morrissey with 2, Galam with 2 as well. So, yeah, I think, you know, I think of the two managers, Kylie would be the happiest. There is a little bit of, I suppose, the selection, like, looking ahead to championship, like, Fergal O'Connor is really impressed that he's, you know, the league games he's played. Obviously, Sean Finn is coming back in and a fit and well. Sean Finn plays over any other player in the country, but again, it's a little bit of cover. I think we were a little bit light in that kind of area of the field and cornerbacks, you know, when, you know, last year Rich English got getting injured as well. So, you know, he's definitely shining light. I think Cathal Neal as well, wing back, with Declan Hannan back, you know, another game in the back line. And, you know, I suppose it shows how good a player he is just to be able to slap back into to play in that half back line. And, you know, he did look, he looked good. And look, it's all, he's learning. It's, you know, it's going to take time, but he's just a really good hurler. And look, I think when the likes of Gord Hegarty came on, he brought the fight to Galway. And, you know, I think he's having a really good league so far. But I think it's up front where there's going to be decisions to be made. I think you've Adam English putting his hand up. You've Donegal Dolly putting his hand up. I do think Aaron Gillan starts, and I think Peter Casey starts. So to me, the one who might lose out could be Shamey. Do you know what I mean? So it's look, the decisions we made. I know what Flanagan does bring an awful lot of work rate when he plays, but you know, with players on form like that, would it be a disservice not to give them their chance? You know, when they played so well.
It's a great point Kieran raised. That insightful forward line now. John Cody does have an embarrassment of riches coming through here, particularly from the underage ranks. And maybe Seamus Flanagan is the guy here that's maybe under pressure a little bit. But I suppose that's a great situation for Limerick management to be in. Player that with a point to prove, particularly with a semi-final coming up against Kilkenny.
Yeah, and also I agree what Kieran says, though. Sometimes you have to go with form because, you know, it can be very, you know, other players can get disillusioned if they feel no matter how well I play, I still don't start. That a guy who's, you know, maybe been picked on previous years. Now, saying that, like, Flanagan can set the world alight. But, like, at the same time, there has to be some level of form has to come into it. And if you want to keep these young lads chomping at the bit and, you know, full of enthusiasm, you have to give one or two of them a start if they're going that well. And I think it is a good problem for John Kiely to have. And in one way, he does have to manage it well, too, because, you know, you keep going out with the same six forwards and, you know, some lads will feel like I'm never going to get a start here. So, you know, and it would really shake up one or two of the more seasoned players to see that their place, their jersey is given to somebody else. Because, look, it is a round robin. You have to have some bit of flow with your team going through. Once you're going to pick up injuries and niggles anyway. Yeah, he definitely would be happy. Like, Donegal Oleg is another step up from last year. Like, I think he scored 316 from play over the course of the league, which serious scoring. Like, yeah, he has to come into the reckoning really for full forward line as well. And Adam English, the last, then put his end up too. So these are all good problems for Kylie.
Injury news. I mean, Colin Coughlin went off with a leg injury. We'll see how extended the injury is there as well. And I know HIA from Fergal O'Connor after that challenge from Adrian Toohey. But I suppose going back to Galway here, more questions were asked of Henry Shefflin post-game regarding Johnny Glynn. So feedback is that he's going to be provided a trial in a few weeks when he comes back from New York and a decision will be made then. Roland Glennon, I thought Gavin Lee were pretty impressive as well for Galway. Took the fight to Limerick at various stages. But yeah, I think the feeling up here in Galway is that there is a cohesion issue, particularly middle third, that there's the ebbing and flowing is just not good enough at the moment from the side. And that maybe Shefflin has maybe one or two things to solve before Leinster Hurling Championship. But I suppose all in all here, guys, you know, a good encounter in Salt Hill. I suppose Corrigan Park in Belfast, Antrim entertaining Tipperary. I mean, the weather last weekend was just absolutely frightful anyway. But I mean, Tipperary got the job done here, Rory. Jake Morris, Jason Ford combining for 214 and 221. Thought it was a very routine win for Tipperary.
Yeah, it was kind of a bit of a non-event. One way we thought that Tipperary might have to chase 30 points if Galway had won. And again, hard to know where Tipperary stand. Maybe we spoke about Waterford earlier. I suppose we'll learn a bit more in the league semi-final about Tipperary. But a lot of new guys in there again. Like Liam Cahill was delighted to get these lads out and get more game time into them. From an Antrim point of view, Antrim, I think, have definitely slipped back. I know they've had a lot of turnover in terms of players. But again, we're kind of mentioning Cornel Gunning. He got 1 point from play. You know, if he's not scoring heavily, like, you know, he needs to be really unsung for Antrim to have a chance here, I think, of winning a Leinster Championship game. He has to set the world alight because he doesn't seem to have the supporting cast that maybe Antrim had in the last couple of years.
Yeah, Kieran, get you in there. It's been a miserable league campaign from Antrim, whatever way you kind of write it up. I mean, the near miss against Dublin, don't know if you could call it a positive or negative, how heartbreaking that result was, but I mean, even last Saturday, you know, three scores only from Antrim. O'Brien was the sole scorer in that first half for Antrim. It just, for Derek Leeson heading into a Leinster Senior Hurling Championship campaign here, going to take some job here to kind of rebuild confidence ahead of round one.
I think it was probably a negative, that game against Dublin. It would have been a negative feeling after that game because they had the game won at that stage. You know, I suppose a late keeper blunder to give Dublin the goal. Yeah, look, Antrim have been very poor this league campaign. You know, last year we would have been admiring them and how they were playing, and you know that, you know, that would have been a threat to any team, especially if you had to travel to Corgan Park. Only 5 points in play, which is three scores. You said Aidan O'Brien with 8 points, seven of them for frees. Niall McKenna chipped them with 3 points. You know, that's poor. 5 points in play is poor in any game. Tipperary weren't firing all cylinders either, but I suppose just did enough, and did not more than did enough, but they, you know, they held them off definitely. You know, 4 to 12 points, which we see all the time. You know, suppose from four in the league, he's, you know, really prominent scorer. Jake Morris 2-2 as well. Like, he's in good form again. You know, I suppose the question is, can he carry that form into championship and do it week on week? I think, you know, looking at this, when we get to the semi final weekend against Clare, you know, I think for Tipperary, like, there isn't a word about him. You know, there's no one mentioning him, but I do think they're going to struggle for a bit of squad depth. You know, the likes of Seamus Kennedy now ruled out with due injury, and one or two of them forwards were to become injured, you know, you probably worry for them where the scores are going to come from. But, you know, I looked at it enough against Antrim. Antrim are in a bad place at the minute, I think. You know, unless I know there are a couple of players still out from injury, they need to get them back in the field and get some game momentum before the championship, because it could be a long couple of weeks in championship unless they get these, you know, turn things around a little bit. But, you know, all signs this year are they haven't been going that well.
Kieran's highlighted here Seamus Kennedy out with a season-ending ACL. Wish him well. Also, Owen Connolly went off at half-time with an elbow injury. And, I mean, I think he's very much a key cog for that Tipperary midfield unit. Injuries are starting to build up a little bit here for Tipperary here, Rory. And I suppose Cathal Barrett's return is undetermined right now. I mean, maybe a few concerns for Dean Cahill here, as maybe Kieran has said, in terms of squad depth.
Yeah, there is. Like, Kennedy's a massive loss. He's one of the more experienced players, you know. I'd say he was glad to see Noel McGrath get a run out the last day as well. Now Antrim, like, are suffering a lot of injuries, and at this level, like against Tipperary, against any of the top counties, you're down players, you're going to be found out. So yeah, look, from an Antrim point of view, I think they're going to struggle really in the Leinster Championship. Very hard to see, unless they can turn over a team up in Corrigan Park, it's going to be hard to see where they're going to get a win from. Tipperary, again, they're another, like, Munster seems like such a minefield. There's no team really, like, apart from Limerick, of course, but there's no team really, you know, putting up their hands and laying down markers yet. But I suppose at league semi-final, we will learn a bit more about Tipperary, and Liam Cahill will learn a bit more about them as well. We said at the start of the league, they're one of the teams that would have been, you know, targeting the league. He needs to get as far as he can with them, because he's still unsure of certain players, guys who didn't deliver last year against Waterford when needed, and then against Galway. He must have doubts about going in to the championship this year. So he'd have needed as many league games as possible against, you know, top quality teams as well to learn that bit more. Like we saw as well at college's level, how a third level, with how many Tipperary lads were featuring in the Fitzgibbon final between Garrod O'Connor and the lads inside Mary Eye as well. He would four of the major places Mary Eye taken up by Tipperary lads, like both midfielders. You had Joe Caesar as well in the back line, and just shows a bit of strength of depth coming through early 20s age in Tipperary. And it's just kind of putting these boys in with the likes of Ronan Maher and the more experienced guys, you know, how that kind of, you know, gels together a bit. So I think it was big for Tipperary to get into the league semi-final. I actually, out of the four teams left in the league, I think they're the team that will probably be probably going home maybe in the league semi-final.
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose we'll preview them in due course. I suppose to finish off 1B before we head back to 1A to look at the Kilkenny-Waterford match. Dublin had a morale boosting win over Westmead, 222-15. I suppose the red card for Westmead, pretty decisive here, Kieran. But for Miola Donoghue management and Dublin players, a good win given the spread of scores that was provided on the day.
Yeah, I think to be fair, the red card obviously would have had an impact on for Westmead, but like the Dublin were 9 points to six up at that point. You know, Aaron Craig, red card in 33rd minute, and I suppose from then on it became a little bit easier for Dublin. Keenan Sullivan won 4, James Madden 2 points, Sutcliffe 3 points, Paul Crummy 3 points, Donald Burke getting 3 points, two of them frees as well, and Brian Hayes 2 points. So it would be probably a thing that will satisfy Mihal Dunu is the spread of scores, because I think in weeks gone by, they've been heavily reliant on Keenan Sullivan for scoring. Donald Burke's on the field now, he's getting a bit of game time, and you know, I think he'd need to start showing some improvements in scoring, because you know they're going to need his services definitely in Championship. You know, I think Keenan Sullivan has stepped up another gear this year in that forward line. He's a real threat in there. Paul Cummey as well, you know, he's come in and he's, I suppose, more of an aerial threat too. I see him, he comes back to win on their own puckers. He comes in deep to get on the end of breaks and stuff. So Dublin are playing a very similar game to what Cork play. You know, they're running game from deep, very disciplined in how they, you know, try and get the ball inside the 45 before they take shots at goal. I suppose they're a little bit less... you know, it's not a much of an ironed out game yet. You know, I think it's probably still is a work in progress. You know, I said it last week, I do think they will get better, you know, and there will be still a threat definitely to Wexford come Championship, you know, for that third spot. You know, with all these guys getting on the field or getting some, like Donald Burke getting back in, they are going to get better. You know, I'm sure they'll have a challenge game or two in the next couple of weeks as well. But, you know, I think for Mihal Dunu, I suppose it was the first game where they've started to show, you know, signs of improvement. And it's probably the first good performance this year, I think. You know, not too bad against Tipperary earlier rounds, performance wise, but I suppose, you know, with the score and the spread of scores, it'll probably satisfy me all I don't know.
Yeah, Rory, get you in there in terms of Dublin's league campaign, positive ending. I suppose, what do you see from Dublin heading into the Leinster Senior Hurling Championship?
Yeah, overall, I see a bit of regression in Dublin. And I think Mihal Dunahu would have preferred, like, if Westmeath had 15 and just, you know, had a bit more of a battle in it, because it definitely, as Kieran pointed out, there was only 3 points in it at the time. Dublin, by all accounts, were well on top at that stage. Like, Westmeath only, Killian Doyle from the starting forwards actually scored. He got 2 points. Now, saying that both midfielders, Peter Clark and Shane McGovern, scored, but other than that, it was David Williams from Freeze and the whole full forward line. Dara Clinton, Niall Mitchell, Owen McCabe, they were all taken off by the 42nd minute. So that kind of gives you an indication. Just as well, we all know with 14 men playing inside in a full forward line, which is probably down to two players or one player at that stage, can be a lonely place, you know, when the team are being out-hurled further out the field and outnumbered. But yeah, Dublin, look, just the fact that it probably was against the Westmeath team that were down to 14, and that's... I know he'd be delighted to see, for confidence reasons, the spread of scores that were there, but I think he'd have preferred if they had taken, you know, a team that would be deemed to be, you know, All-Ireland contenders right down the stretch, because Dublin haven't done that in any league game yet this year. They showed, even against Limerick, there was glimpses maybe the first 20 minutes where they did trouble the Limerick backs at times. Definitely against Galway, they stretched out a bit further. So, Mihal Dunu is probably the manager that would have liked another league game as such, just to maybe build him a bit up more for a Championship, as he had players returning throughout the league as well, like Donald Burke, Chris Crummy, and a few guys strengthened the team all the way through. Yeah, I think going into Leinster, there might be that slightly bit undercooked compared to, you know, where Wexford are, and Galway and Kilkenny probably, like, are going to be two out of the three. Like, you'd be shocked if they weren't. So it's going to be Dublin are going to have to, you know, basically beat Wexford or take down one of the two counties maybe at home to try and nab that third spot. But at the minute, it's kind of hard to see it, for me anyway.
Yeah, and I suppose concluding here on 1B here, Kieran, Joe Fortune and Westmead, I suppose they've had a few positives. I mean, they've run Tipperary close, they ran Limerick close, they got the win against Antrim. I mean, this is probably a big disappointment for Westmead going into Parnell Park, opportunity loss. But overall, this is a team that's going into John McDonagh Cup with high in confidence.
Yeah, they haven't been building momentum there the last couple of weeks. You said that performance against Limerick would have really buoyed them up a bit, and then to follow it up with a good performance against Tipperary, and they pushed them all away. So this would have been a backward step going into their Championship, you know. And I suppose they're one of the teams that they probably half fancied themselves in Joe McDonagh this year, you know, after they would have, you know, a lot of experience in the last season or two playing the big teams. And, you know, I think obviously I would have Offaly as favourites, but, you know, I think if Offaly were to slip up in the game, you know, you'd have Westmeath behind them probably. Yeah, the performance this year for me didn't come out. They came out of nowhere, really. Like, you know, I think Westmeath have been playing the similar standard, you know, all last year, early this year. And then I suppose that game against Limerick, it really, you know, for me, it came out of nowhere. But I suppose they backed it up with a performance against Tipperary. So, look, I'm sure it's been a more, this league compared to last year's league, you know, I'm sure they'll probably be happier going into the championship. But, you know, they're still, like, and it's an sorry state of affairs to me, but like the likes of Antrim, Westmeath, Laois, Offaly, there's still a huge gap to the top table from what the level they're at. I don't know what it's going to take for these teams to close in. Offaly are making good strides, you know, but like, to be fair, Antrim have regressed a little bit, I think, this year and definitely the last 2 years. You know, maybe a change of a new voice up there might be required. Darren Gleeson's been there a good few years now, and I suppose it's the getting to that step beyond Joe McDonagh is the real test, the real obstacle for these likes of these teams. And, you know, they're kind of like yo-yoing up and down for the last couple of years. But like I say, Antrim, Laois, Westmeath. And, you know, it's, I think more needs to be done to get these teams closer to the top teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we can cover that in another episode, how we would actually improve those teams that are looking to progress onto the top flight of Ireland. I suppose, guys, go back to 1A. We forgot it. Walsh Park, Waterford, Kilkenny. Great start for Rory early on for Waterford, but again, second half struggles again in full view. Kilkenny win, but injury list has increased.
Waterford, like, were up 1-2 to 3 points. Had a second goal as well early in the first half. Were up 2-2 to 4 points. Like, 2-5 to 6 men coming up to halftime. So they were completely well in the game first half. But then, like, second half, to just score 4 points. And I know conditions were poor. Overall, they were outscored 18 points, 18 scores to 11 scores. It's one way of looking at it, in difficult conditions. Another, look, a small worrying thing that I'm sure Dave Fitzgerald isn't happy with is, again, there was less than 3,000 fans at, you know, Waterford Kilkenny, which, you know, it's local enough for both teams. And we're talking there how last week there was 7,000 went to see Kilkenny and Ennis. Like, they're always a big draw for National Hurling League. And the fact that, you know, the arrival of Kilkenny didn't get the Waterford fans out, you know, it's a worry, because if Walsh Park is meant to be, you know, a fortress now, finally, you know, after giving up last year to play in neutral venues, you know, to get Walsh Park ready, like, there's a big concern here that Waterford may not bring any crowd to Munster Championship round robin. There seems to be a bit of a disconnect somewhere over the next few weeks. Like, I don't know, between county board, they need to rally the Waterford public to come in and support this team if they're going to have any, you know, home crowd, kind of partisan crowd, because it's a worry, like, that there might be a lot of empty seats there, or they'll be filled with away fans is probably the more likely scenario. But yeah, look, we've spoken about how Waterford have had a lot of injuries early in the league. Like, a lot of these boys are back now. And yeah, they're probably just still kind of settling in. But second half was, you know, hugely disappointing. And even coming off the bench, it wasn't like that he's bringing on inexperienced lads. You'd Patrick Fitzgerald coming in, Padraig Fitzgerald, who'd done very well in previous games, Neil Montgomery, Kevin Mahoney came in, I know, very late, nearly daily. But, like, they were kind of bringing on, you know, a big subs bench here. Just didn't have that impact in the second half. And Kilkenny, Owen Cody had a good game. We mentioned last week he was a bit off form up in Ennis, but he got 3 points, and 3 points in these kind of conditions, you know. And TJ Reid nailed the freeze as well, 8 points from freeze. So yeah, if TJ's on song and freeze, and Owen Cody's on song from play, like, they're a tough team to beat. And it's just a fact, 2-9. I know, again, bad conditions, but it's not a good score that put up in any conditions, really.
Yeah, Kieran, get you in there in terms of the Kilkenny performance. Good fight back in the second half, but obviously there is injury worries here to Mikey Butler and also to Mikey Carey, two key guys in the back line heading into a Limerick game next weekend. There'll be massive losses if they're not fit.
Yeah, I haven't heard any words since on the severity of the injuries, but yeah, two huge guys, and I think it was, like, you know, really important to Kilkenny back unit. I think as well, it's the second game in a row that Adrian Mullen hasn't scored from play. You know, earlier on, he was lighting up, you know, scoring 4 or 5 points a game. But just to Waterford, like, you know, 2-2 scored after 14 minutes, and to score 7 points in 55 minutes of hurling, I think, is atrocious. It's terrible. I don't care what conditions there was. You'd surely knock 7 points over from Freeze, you know, on any given day. And I think you look at Davy's record in Waterford, and the proof's in the pudding, really. Out of 10 league games, they've won 3. And the 3 teams they beat were Offaly, Antrim and Laois. So they haven't beat any of the big teams in this year's league or last year's league. And then including last year's championship where they beat Tipperary last game. So they're 1 from 4 in championship and 3 from 10 in league under Davy. So, you know, the proof's in the pudding, really. That game against Tipperary was that they were playing for pride that day. So that was probably the motivation they had that day to beat Tipperary was, and I think they caught Tipperary in the hop on the day, you know. So, like, the record speaks for itself. His game plan doesn't work. It's outdated. Teams want to play against it. Like, Waterford has some very good hurlers and still do. Like, they were second favourites to win the All-Ireland only 3 years ago. You know, and, you know, where it's, I just don't know where it's all gone wrong for them. You know, you look at it across the team, like, they've the Callum Lyons, Jamie Barron, Desi Hutchinson, you know, Paul Fitzgerald, young player coming up, looks really good. Patrick Kern, you know, Neil Montgomery, the Bennetts, Shane Bennett, Stephen Bennett, like, really good hurlers, and they should be performing way better than they are. And if I was a Water fan, I wouldn't be going to games either. And that's why the was a 2,900 attended the game last weekend. I know the conditions are bad, but, you know, I think it's they're voting with their feet, and, you know, I don't blame them. I wouldn't be going either to watch that brand of hurling he plays. It's absolute shite. So I think it's going to be a long for me. Davey's talking up of the how he's going to change it up between now and championship. I can't see it. I'd be surprised if Waterford win one game this year's championship. And hopefully that'll be the end of Davey as a manager in this country. We're looking at him or listening anymore. So, look, I just think I can imagine the frustration and Waterford fans are, you know, they are a proud hurling county and they produce some very good hurlers. And I think like the likes of Desi Hutchinson, the guys who are in their prime now. And this is the, you know, the opportunity they're getting. I think it's, you know, and look, there is more wrong in Waterford hurling than just the management team. There's, you know, like the stuff in the background as well. And I think the fact that there's 2 different councils, you know, in Waterford, the 2 different county boards in Waterford, you know, there's obviously more issues there that, you know, it needs a revival from the top down. But for me, I can understand the frustration of Waterford fans.
Thanks, Kieran. Rory, just in terms of Waterford and Davy, does he have a trick up his sleeve for 5 weeks' time against Cork? Did we see a little sampler with some direct ball going into likes of Stephen Bennett getting 2 goals early, or is this going to be just a very miserable drawn-out season here for the Daisha fans?
Well, yeah, that is a huge question. He's letting everyone believe that there is, you know, a massive performance coming against Cork. And if there isn't, like, then there's serious, like, question marks over the future of Davy Fitz if they don't come out with, and, like, there's no way in putting up a performance. They have to come out and beat Cork. Simple as that. And, like, all evidence would suggest that there isn't one there now. We did think that last year when they beat Tipperary, and look, they were out of the championship and they delivered that performance. But the potential, like, that's the thing that probably is annoying a lot of Waterford fans, is the potential is there with this group of players. And, you know, the likes of Jamie Barron and them aren't getting any younger. Like, if they're going to deliver Shane Bennett and these, it needs to be now, you know. And just a small bit telling, I thought, from the very start this year that we spoke about this, a lot of guys not committing who are still, you know, have a lot to offer. Like, obviously Austin Gleeson is a major one, but even in terms of goalkeeper, like, the experience O'Keefe could give to the team, even just his experience, even talking through puckouts, even if he was just in there as a squad player. O'Mahony, as you mentioned as well, just like, he's to have a free taker, his ability, not in the squad. So they're worrying signs from the very start. Again, this was another worrying performance, and from a Davy Fitz point of view, like, it really is now. They have to come out. Like, I mentioned this before, but what really worried me about last year was an interview with Peter Queeley, who said that we put everything into beating Limerick in the first game. And look, they did. You couldn't say that they weren't close to Limerick in that match. Like, it could have gone either way near the end. But that's poor preparation, I think, for a team to target one game in particular in a round robin. Because we saw for the week afterwards, they had no performance against Cork. And that was them out of the championship then. Whereas at the other side, you could look and see Clare lost the home game against Tipperary after conceding 5 goals. And you're thinking, you know, oh, they're in massive trouble now. But obviously they had prepared for a 4-match campaign, whereas Waterford had all their eggs in one basket. It was like, oh, we've learned from last year that this year will be, you know, we won't be just targeting one game, but you're like, surely they should have known that going into last year's championship as well. So look, there's just a few worrying things going on in the background, but it would be, like, for me, it would be a big shock if they beat Cork. And if they do, then, you know, the Munster Championship is wide open then, because a lot of teams are kind of looking at, is there four teams playing for three places? Are Waterford going to be the fifth team? And all indicators are that that's the case. But look, hurling is funny. And if they do go out and win that game, then, of course, you'll have belief back from the players that the Davy experiment might be working. But for the minute, like, the craziness last year, like, they went up to Cusick Park 2 years ago and Desi Hutchinson scored about 1-5 from play off Rory Hayes. It kind of killed Rory Hayes' confidence going into the Munster final because, you know, he didn't have a great game in the Munster final either. And in fact, for the rest of the season, but it was out of a Waterford team that were playing really poorly. Like, Desi Hutchinson set the world alight inside. And then last year, he was playing more or less out as a third midfielder. You know, and you're looking from a Clare point of view playing Waterford saying, God, who's going to mark Desi Hutchinson inside? Who will they use to man mark him? They didn't need anybody because he was playing so far out the field. You know, he wasn't that threat inside that we all know he can be. So just small things like that. Sometimes I think it's management trying to be too clever, doing something with a player nobody has done just for the sake of it, that if it works out, they'll be seen as a genius, rather than just putting players in their best position. Playing a style that suits the players, not trying to get the players to play your style. Yeah, I think that seems to be the issue. And look, we all know Waterford are proud hurling county, and the fact that there's so many empty seats. And it's not, I know weather was poor, but this is a trend overall in all their league games that they haven't had a following. And yeah, that says it all, really, because if the Waterford public believes this team were going somewhere, like, they'd be following them.
Davey was kind of on the record before that he had the plan to beat Limerick. And I think a lot of it comes down to, they probably did target that Limerick game. I think it was for Davey's benefit himself, you know, that if they did pull it off, you know, he was the master technician, and he came up with his master plan of pulling down the All Ireland champions. So, you know, it's like he's, you know, I don't know what goes on in the background there, but it's like he's, you know, playing, using these players as to play his own game as such. I think they deserve more. Do you know what I mean? Look, it's Waterford's fault for bringing him back in for the second term, you know, or even after last year's performances, to renew his contract this year. You know, I think, to me, like, the round robin hasn't worked for him even before Davey's time. They've won two games in, is it 4 years, round robin? So there's issues there that, you know, Liam Cahill couldn't start either. So, you know, I do think, you know, as Rory's right, if they beat Cork, it's wide open. But I just really can't see. They might put off one win or a shock win in the championship, but I can't see them winning 3 or 4.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think it's do or die for him in that first round game against Cork, really. The other thing I found fascinating this about for performance was the amount of times they were pinged for overcarrying. I think Johnny Murphy, I think it counted at least 3 times he'd pinged them during the game, which may be a bit of a trend for other match officials on Waterford here. But Kilkenny side as well, Luke Moore, Hogan came in. I thought he did very, very well in terms of debut. 2 points early, set up a free for TJ Reid, put his hand up. So I suppose for Derek Ding, you know, you have to be pleased with that. I suppose, guys, quickly, 2A roundup. I mean, Friday night in Hawkfield, Kildare entertained Carlow, 116-15 points to Kildare. I suppose boosted by an early sending off to John Nolan after only about 2 minutes. Laois continued their rampant form, 4-20-1-19 winners over Kerry. And Meath finished bottom of the table. Doughty Sands inspired down with a hat-trick, 3-19-1-16. I suppose, guys, kind of looking at the 2A standings, Carlow are awaiting the winners of Laois and Down this weekend. I suppose, Rory, get your reaction to the 2A campaign.
Yeah, kind of last weekend's fixtures worked out as we thought, that Kildare playing a Carlow team that were already through, having a home game, and Kildare kind of in an upward trajectory to better finish in the league. Now, dare we say it, but they seem to be timing things a bit better this year, but that'll prove to be in the pudding when it comes to the round robin and in a few weeks' time. Kerry have kind of petered out of this. I thought they'd be a lot more competitive than they have been. I know there's a turnaround in players, but still, they were down 3-12 to 8 points, early in this game, you know, at halftime. So, they were out of it by then, and just a poor way for them to finish the league. Whereas Down, I suppose, have probably been the, you know, I won't say the shock team, because they have been competitive in division for a while, but, you know, they've kept their form the whole way through now, and they'll give Laois plenty of it in the semi-final. And Sands, just seen him a couple of times not like it's very rare that we get to see Down play, you know, fully live on telly, but they played Kerry in a league playoff a couple of years ago. TC Cahir showed online, and I remember seeing a really impressive hurler, real wristy style forward that, you know, any of the top teams would love to have. And hopefully we'll get to see a bit more of Down, maybe in a Division 2 final if they can overcome Laois. Because, we all know it's a small little hurling area up there, and they really make the most out of their resources. And as teams have found out this year in Division 2A, there's plenty of hurling up there, you know, and getting a win, especially up and down, is serious place to go and get a win. Meads as well, after starting the Division 2 very well, petered out completely as well. And probably just a small bit maybe off this level.
The year I probably wouldn't have had Down in top three. I probably would have gone with, you know, Kerry in their place, but Kerry have been really disappointing this year. You know, they got a win there two rounds ago, round three, and we're thinking, you know, they've started to turn a corner, but they hadn't really, to be honest. You know, really disappointing. You know, Laois were probably on top, like 3-12-8 at half time, as Rory said. Game over, that's it. I think Down, Meath actually started well. They were 7 points up in the first half, and I think the two the ice hands goal is reeling back in, and another third goal in the second half just to see it out. And I do think, you know, it probably will be advantage Laois in that semi final, because the earlier round game where Laois played Down, it was 2-18-17 for Laois. So, you know, there's 7 points to try and make up. Look, I think Down are probably going up with no pressure on their shoulders. I think the pressure will be on Laois to get there. It's a home game for Laois as well in Port Laois, so it will all the advantages go to them. And then Carlow, look, they started eight starters, John Nolan ran Carlow for 4 minutes. You know, I suppose it was a distinct advantage to Kildare then. But it was only one of the deaths. It was only a late goal for Kildare that really sought out for them. You know, to be fair to Carlow, they hung on, they were there, thereabouts up to the end. Carlow topped the group, they've been really impressive, I think. I think you have to make them favourites to probably go and win the division now. You know, they beat Laois fairly comfortably as well in the early rounds. So anything can happen in the finals. As we saw it last year, where Kildare were in the position Carlow were in now, and, you know, were turned over in the final, and their season went downwards from then. But to be fair, Carlow have been the farm team, and I suppose Laois, bar that loss to Carlow, have not been far behind them.
Yeah, so Kieran, you're tipping Laois anyway for this weekend against Down.
Yeah, I think Down have been impressive, but I think it might be just a step too far from this year.
Yeah, Rory, what's your prediction?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You've, like, Ross King came in there, scored 1-7, 1-4 from play. Like Willie Dunphy, like some season names with Laois, you know. And it's kind of a sign, I suppose, that they're happy the way things are going, that they're getting kind of buy-in and a bit of delivery from these players. So, yeah, I'll go with Laois.
Guys, we'll switch back to Division 1. Semi-finals have been scheduled Saturday at 4:30 in Limerick's second home, Super Value, Páirc Uíoch. We have Limerick versus Kilkenny. I suppose, guys, bit of a prediction here. Kieran, who do you fancy to get to the final?
Look, I think, depending on how severe the injuries are for Kilkenny, Mikey Butler and Mikey Ayer will be a big loss. Limerick probably have been, you know, they've gone about business well this year so far, without pulling up any, you know, without being overly impressive or not showing their hand too much. I don't think they've tried young players, you know, like Fergal O'Connor's a find. It'll be a chance for Kilkenny to try and, you know, put one up to Limerick. I suppose the last three national finals they've played them and they've lost to them. You know, it'll be a great chance for them to try and, you know, to get a win over them, but I can't see it. I think Limerick in this one, you know, they could probably still try a few of these young lads. I think it'll be, maybe the likes of Fergal O'Connor is given the chance to play in these top games, you know, get into a latter stage of a competition. And for me, I think it'll be a Limerick win. I think Kilkenny will bring it. And, you know, they won't want to have a similar result to last year's final in the league against Limerick. So I think it will be closer than that. But I still do think Limerick will win by 4 or 5 points.
Yeah, Rory, got you in there for this game. I think maybe a chance of redemption here for Kilkenny. The Clifton All-Ireland Hurling Final loss, also the Anions Hurling League Final last year. Plenty of motivation for Derek Ling management and team to really kind of set a marker down for Limerick this year.
Yeah, I think so. It's a bit like we mentioned Clare Kilkenny a couple of weeks ago, where Clare were in that position where psychologically you could say they needed a win over Kilkenny. I think psychologically Kilkenny need a win over Limerick, especially, you know, a league semi-final. It's still down big stadium Páirc Uíoch where they played in the league final last year. I do think Kilkenny would, you know, really try and target, get this win now, be a big boost for them. But especially if they meet Limerick later on in the championship. But I don't know, I don't see it. I just think Limerick have been a step ahead of them. Style of play Limerick have, Kilkenny haven't figured out a way to stop it yet. And until we see them do that, like, you just have to fancy Limerick. And I think as well, we can just see from the last day as well, Limerick just don't want to lose any games. We saw that in Salt Hill. There's, you know, a bit like the great Kilkenny team under Cody had, like, they just don't want to lose any match. And Yeah, I think that attitude will probably send them below in Parkcaoimh, because Kilkenny will probably throw the kitchen sink at them here and try and get that psychological boost. Yeah, I just think, though, that until proved otherwise, Limerick will have too much for Kilkenny.
And I suppose the second semi-final is in Amore Park, Portlaoise, on Sunday afternoon. Clare and Tipperary, I suppose, Rory going into that game should be a bit of a cracker.
Should be. Now, this sounds like a conspiracy theory here, and I usually don't buy into them, but I think that the result of the first game will have a bearing on the second match. I don't think Clare will want to play Limerick twice in a row in a league final followed by a Munster Championship first round, and I don't think the GAA will agree to make the Munster Championship first round a league final slash Munster Championship first round either, which would make a lot more sense if that was the case, because they'll already have league final kind of tickets planned and all that sold. So look, I just think that if Kilkenny win, I think Clare would love a league final against Kilkenny. If Limerick win, I don't think Clare would fancy a league final against Limerick. They'll try and keep their powder dry for Munster Championship. Now, that's my conspiracy, and I'll go along with it for the minute.
Kieran, over to you in terms of Clare tip, your prediction.
Yeah, I agree with Rory. I don't think, probably, I think you say the same for Limerick. I don't think Limerick like to play Clare tweak for the first championship game either. So, the obvious thing to do if the two teams, if they were to bring it out as an incentive, if the two teams did get to the final, to round, double it up with the first round game, like they did it for the World Cup. Yeah. The World Cup there. Got them extra 2 years ago when they couldn't, the Welsh Cup final couldn't be replayed. I think they would keep the push the teams then to go for it, you know. And yeah, it is a factor, I think. And of all four teams left, Tipperary probably, we having the first week as a bye week, it would suit them to win it because they'd have 3 week gap between league final and first round championship. But they're like 2 weeks turnaround is short, you know, especially if you were to get a beaten or be beaten by a couple of points and have things to work on. 2 weeks is very little time, so, you know. But as I think, like, maybe Clare might pull the handbrake, but I don't think Limerick will. I think there's something they've done over the years is they just ploughed on regardless who they're going to be playing, and I think it's just they play whatever team's in front of them, and I don't think it would be their preference to play Clare in the final if that was to work out that way. But I think if it landed that way, you know, they just play whatever's in front of them. Yeah, I think it would make for a better first round game if they hadn't played, you know, so close before as well. So I'm going to say Clare, because like, Tip have been impressive in ways, but I think Clare have been impressive, you know. They've definitely built up more of a squad there. You know, maybe will it be a chance to get game time into the likes of Tony Kelly? I don't know if he's ready yet, but Ryan Taylor's obviously a little bit off, but Shane O'Donnell as well, maybe, you know, get him in. Like, Clare have got an unusual route. They usually, like in years gone by, they've kind of disregarded the league. I think they've kind of, you know, played what games you want to turn up in, and other games they're just, you know, playing for the sake of playing. This year they've gone about it. They've been competitive in every game, and you know, it'd be a pity if they were to pull the handbrake up in a semi-final. And I think it does, and that's disrespecting, but it does disregard the competition if, you know, that does happen in a semi-final stage. And it is something for the GA to look at. You know, something that's been talked about the last couple of years is the time frame between the league final and first round championship too short. Surely they could buy another week somewhere along the calendar year. So I'm going to go Clare. Yeah, Clare Limerick final. Sure, you wouldn't know them rogues and Clare at Mark any time of year, you know. maybe they should just go and win the league. They mightn't even win the Munster or Ireland. They might be just well to take the league.
I'm not sure this is it. I'm not sure solve all problems. Kilkenny tip audience are in league final. I'm sure they'd be happy to have it there as well. But yeah, no, I think that Clare tip game, I think tip all the pressure's on Tip, really. You know, just given performance against Limerick, you need to get a bit of a marquee victory here, build a bit of momentum going into the championship. I think Tipperary will be going all out for it, as you said, guys. You know, the bye week, first round Munster Championship, with a bit of time. So, look, but again, it's a national title on the line here. You know, if you're getting into the final, you need to be winning it as well. Don't think there's too many players that would have league resumes to their records. So, you know, and I think we talked about this last year as well, guys. Cut a long story short, in terms of maybe incentivizing the league a little bit, in terms of maybe the winner getting into an All-Ireland quarterfinal series or qualifier series or some sort of gambit here. Not sure, maybe we can talk about that as well in the next few weeks. I suppose, guys, we'll leave it there. It's been a lengthy one tonight, but thanks for your time, Rory and Kieran. I suppose next week we'll focus in on the Allianz Hurling League Division 1 semi-finals and also the 2A semi-final. Probably look at the underage in the county preview as well. Under-20s kicking off next few weeks. Maybe you can preview that in terms of Leinster and also Munster. I suppose, guys, enjoy the games over the weekend. We'll chat to you next week.
See you, Mark.
Take care, Mark.
Thank you for listening to this podcast episode. If you liked what you heard in this podcast,
Why not subscribe to the Hawkeye Sidekick podcast on either Amazon, Spotify, YouTube, or Twitter platforms? You can also follow me at Hawkeye Sidekick on Facebook and Twitter for the latest sporting opinions, articles, and reports.